Love God. Lift others.
Welcome to Elevate Life Church.
Now, sit back, relax, and enjoy another elevated message. Here's Senior Pastor Sergio Limone.
I've got to color this man, Father. I'm going to color him love. I've got to color him, Father. I believe I'll color this man love. He's just been so good to me. I know I've got to color him love. I'm going to color him, Father. I've got to color this man love. He's just been so kind.
The same way a loving father feels towards his children. But a sample of your tender feelings towards us, your beloved children, who then in awe, or another word for that is fear of you. Psalm 103:13 says there that God has feelings towards us to bless us, to give that kind of love that a father has to his children. Now look over at Matthew 7:11. Matthew 7:11, Jesus is talking here. And it says, if you, imperfect as you are, know how to lovingly take care of your children and give them what's best, how much more ready is your Heavenly Father to give wonderful gifts to those who ask Him? Again, Jesus is reiterating that God is our Father, okay? He is our Father. That's the most powerful revelation. There's no other religion in the world that presents God as a guest, okay? But that's what Jesus came to do for us. And his blood, receiving his sacrifice, making him your Lord and Savior, you living for him, gives you the adoption papers that makes God your Heavenly Father. Amen. And I'm going to read this last one to you in Hebrews 12:7-9. It says this: fully embrace God's correction as part of your training. For he is doing what any loving father does for his children. For who has ever heard of a child who never had to be corrected? We all should welcome God's discipline as validation of authentic sonship. For if we have never once endured correction, it only proves we are strangers and not friends. Isn't it true that we respect our earthly fathers even though they corrected and disciplined us? Because we should demonstrate an even greater respect for God, our spiritual Father, as we submit to his life-giving discipline. Let's pray. Father, we just thank you today, this Father's Day. Lord, we honor you as our Heavenly Father. We thank you that you've adopted us through the blood of Jesus into the family of God, and you've given us an inheritance. You've given us access that whenever we want, we can walk into your presence. We can call upon your name, and you'll hear us. Lord, we ask for your presence to be here today as we build up our fathers and we strengthen the family. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. So it's Father's Day. And like I said earlier, a lot of people don't have a proper understanding of what a father is. We bring our experience into it. If you had a father that was abusive, if you had a father that was distant, then that will affect how you view God, your Heavenly Father. We don't want that to be the case. And I feel like in today's day and age, we kind of don't know what to do with that figure of being a father. But you've got to understand, and I stand by the statement because of what the Word says, that I believe that in this day and age, in 2021, the answer to what's going on in our community, in our country, and in our world is fathers. It's fathers. And the Bible says in the book of Malachi that in the last days, God was going to turn the hearts of the fathers to the children, and that he was also going to turn the hearts of the children to the fathers, unless a curse comes on the world. You see, God's doing to keep the curse out of our lives. And when I say that curse, I know we start thinking of voodoo curses and hexes and things like this. The word curse basically means an absence of blessing. So, in other words, understand this, that where there's no Father, there's going to be some absence of blessing. So the inference is this, where there's a Father, there's blessing. I'm checking with you today. So fathers are important. Now, how many have come to learn that fathers are different than mothers? Have y'all learned that? Come on, smile at me today, amen? Fathers are different than mothers. Thank God for mothers. Mothers are nurturing. Mothers take care. Mothers are loving. And fathers are a little different than mothers. Honey, how many come to find out? When you skin your knees, you run in the house, there's two responses. Mama's response is, oh, come here, baby, come over here. Let me put the boo-boo. Let's hang it up. Let's put a band. Let me get you a cookie. What's God's response? Come on over here, walk that off. Come on, you're all right. You're all right. You're okay. Come on, kick it off. But here's what we don't understand. We need both those blessings. We need both those blessings. Now, I understand this. One voice feels better. Come on, amen? Give me that cookie, Mama. Come on, yeah. You are making me feel good. We need that voice. But that other voice, that says, take it off. You're not dying. You're going to live. Get up and get out there again. We need that work too. And we're in a generation right now that doesn't value that work. We want all the nurturing. We want all the make me feel good. And if you don't make me feel good, I don't want that voice. But God, you're missing the point of what a father can do for your life. If you're here today and you're a young father, you better lean into this word. Because if you're learning how to be a father from the world, you're never going to be a good father. Because the world will tell you all you have to do is buy nice things for your kids, get them to Chuck E. Cheese, put them on the swing, and you're a good father. That's not what a good father is. A good father, according to the book of Hebrews, chapter 12, is one that brings discipline. And I didn't get mad on that. See, we need to celebrate discipline. Discipline is important. Hebrews chapter 12 says this, that discipline is love. And the way that you know you're loved is if you've been corrected or disciplined. When God corrects me or disciplines me through His Word, it's because He loves me. And we need to learn as parents, y'all, that when we discipline our kids, it's an expression of love. If you're one of these parents that don't correct your children, or spank your kids, or discipline them, according to the Word, you're not loving them properly. You know, amen is on that right there. I just got to bring you the Word today, amen? Because the Word says it's evidence of love. And I'll tell you this, man, growing up, I didn't like the discipline that my father gave me. And it was mostly my father giving me the discipline. But in my years, this is my life last, amen. But in the years when I had my own children, I started valuing the voice that I had growing up. The voice that much of the time I despised. I didn't want to hear that voice. But that voice taught me and showed me love by giving me boundaries. And if you're a young father trying to learn how to be a father from the world, you're going to come up short. And so we need to understand where we learn fatherhood from. Fathers bring and enforce boundaries in the home. The father's job to have boundaries in his home. There are certain things that you should not be able to do in your home. Come on, somebody, amen? And it's the father that says, you don't act that way in this home. Can I get an amen on that? Mamas get to do that too, and some of the mamas, we do that, right? But fathers cannot be absent and just let mama do all of that. Fathers, it's the way that you love your children when you bring discipline, when you bring correction. Amen? So we got a lot of misconceptions about a father and what we need, and this is why it's so important, guys, that we go to church and we learn the Word of God. Because the world does not understand the fathers anymore. And I get it. As a pastor over 30 years, it's been my 30th year in ministry, I sat across the room in counseling sessions from more people than I can even count. And the majority of the time, the real people's problems was something a father did. Something a father said. Some effect in their life that not having a father produced. And so it's safe to say this, everybody. Fathers are important. They're important. And if you have one, value them. Honor them. Celebrate them. And I want to talk to you today about five things that every father needs. Amen? Five things that every father needs, right? And these things here, I want you to get, right? But you don't get to exchange this for the father's gift. All right, go get them the father's gift anyway. Take them out for a steak, whatever. But these are some other things that you could give and do for your father. And the reason I wanted to take some time on this today is because we have to learn how to value things that give to us. And for too often, we treat things like it's a, you can treat your spouse like an ATM machine, right? And anytime you go there, you just pull something out. I need this, I need kindness, I need joy, I need this. But what you got to understand is you've got to make some deposits in that. Amen? Because what happens if you keep going to the ATM and you haven't made enough deposits? You're going to run out of money, baby. And then you're going to get mad at the ATM machine. Well, you ain't there for me. You don't care about me. What's going on? You don't love me like you used to. No, maybe it's just that you need to make some deposits. So we don't make some deposits in our fathers and in our husbands. Amen? If you have a man that is taking care of his kids and being there for his father, it's up to you being there for his kids, then it's up to you to make some deposits so that he can keep going. How many want that to happen? Amen. Okay, so let me give you these things here. Five things that every father needs. Y'all ready? Three people are ready? Y'all better get ready up here. Five things every father needs. Number one, a father needs a wake-up call. I'm going to give it to you today. Y'all ready? Father needs a wake-up call to a relationship with God. I don't understand men. This father lives life without God. I don't understand the man that would dare get married without knowing God. I don't understand a man that would try to meet all of the needs of this intricate woman that God has given you without God's help. Come on, how many of you know women are complicated? Throw up two hands. Complicated. Complicated. Man, you can figure us out easy, right? You know how to make us happy? Give us a good meal, put the game on. We do it. We're good. I teach my wife all the time what makes her happy changes every week. It could be something. Oh, it's not shabby. It could be this meal. I don't like that meal anymore. Okay, maybe it's this. One thing that always makes her happy is cheese. But see, the Lord got me. I wouldn't have known. But seriously, that means that you're a wake-up call. You really think are going to be everything you need to be a good husband to your wife without them. Your pride has blinded you. You're believing your own hype. You ain't that smooth. You ain't that smart. You just ain't that smart. We need God. We need God. It takes a man to get a wake-up call to say, what do I think I'm doing trying to be a husband without God's help? Now, let's take it even further. How in the world do you think you can be a good without God? All the issues you got in your life, the fact that you didn't have a dad, or you were abused as a kid, and now you got kids in front of you, and you just gonna start a raising as best I can. You better get God. Tell your neighbor, get God. You better get God. What every father needs is a wake up call and understanding this. You're not smart enough to be a good dad. You're not strong enough to be a good dad or a good husband. We need the Lord. Look at Isaiah 41, verse 13. This is God's invitation to you. He says this, for I, the Lord your God, I'll hold your right hand, saying to you, fear not, I will help you. I get chills just thinking about God saying that to me. It's his invitation. Son, I don't know how to do this marriage thing. You know, she's I can't figure her out. And this is God's name. I don't know how I'm going to raise these kids, God. You know, we're not even with their mom anymore. And, you know, they have to go from our house to their house. Lord, you're jumping with me today. And being a father is difficult, guys. Being a father is difficult. I have three incredible kids, but all three of them are different. You ever notice how three kids or four kids or however many number of kids you got can all grow up in the same house and have a different experience? They all see the world different. They all have a different way of receiving from mom and dad. Listen, the thing that will make my friend Sergio happy won't make Philly happy. If I try to give it to her, I think this is what you're all getting, I'll lose. Dad, so do you. You need God more than you need the Raiders. Or the Niners. I heard you over there. You know, across the country, church attendance dips when football season starts. That's the dumbest thing to me. Yes, I love sports just like anybody else. I do. But I'll never let sports get between my commitment to the Lord. Because the Niners will have me raise my kids. They really are. They're not going to help me in my marriage. They're not going to. Are you checking with me today? So here's the wake-up call, guys. Get a better God. Every father needs a relationship with God. Look at John 15:5. Jesus told us it like this. I am the vine. You are the branches. If you abide in me and I in him, you'll bear much fruit. For without me, you can't do anything. That's right there in black and white, guys. So why do we trust? Why do we trust? Because you love partying? Come on, man, you're in your 40s. Two days are gone. Come on, dude. Come on. You really still want to go get a drink with the boys? Come on. It's time to grow up. Jesus says it like this, so without me, you can't do anything. Jesus said that, which means this, he can't lie, so it's true. When I try to do things without God, I can mess it up. And you know what? So do you. You try to be married without God in your life. You're going to mess that up. You probably already have. You're just living in the mess. Are you trying to father things without God in your life? The sad thing is you'll mess that up and you'll mess them up. And they'll be sitting in some pastor's office somewhere talking about all the mistakes that you made. Because you tried to do it without God. Why is it so hard to understand? Living without God is just hard. You just can't even pray for it. You can make all the mistakes, all the excuses you want. Well, you know, I don't follow God at this church. Well, I don't follow God because this happened to me at this one church, and this pastor said this one thing, and I don't agree with it. Man, those are all excuses. Come on, man. Listen, when you want God, there's nothing that can keep you from it. So the inference is this. You just don't want God. And you're going to blame somebody or something. When you want God, nothing can keep you from God. That's a whole other message right there. Let me give you a set of scripture here. Proverbs 3, 5, and 6. Trust in the Lord completely. And do not rely on your own opinion. Come on, guys. Put that on the screen there. With all of your heart, rely on Him to guide you. And He will lead you in the truth in every decision you make. Become intimate with Him in whatever you do, and He will lead you wherever you go. This is the Passion Translation, by the way. So what every father needs is a relationship with God. If you're here today, man, and you don't have one, let's get you one. This makes your day the day. What a father's day good that would be. Because maybe the Lord brought you here to tell you, you can't do it alone. You can't do it with Him. And some of you might be going, yeah, but I come to church. I'm not saying it's church. I'm saying it's God. See, that's where we make the mistake. Well, I've been coming to church. Coming to church won't give you a relationship with God. The relationship with God comes from spending time with Him, reading His Word, doing what it says in the Word. Coming to church is a part of it. But we need a relationship with God. Amen? Listen to the person next to you, say, that's a wake-up call. All right, number two. Second thing that every father needs. Y'all ready for this one? This one's for the ladies. This is going to help you, ladies. The second thing that every father needs is connection with godly men. Now, why do I say that's what the ladies need to hear? So that the next time your husband says, hey, I'm going to a king's meeting, or I'm going golfing with the boys, or I'm going to go do this. He's not saying it to get away from you. I hope he's not. I hope he's not. I can't guarantee that, but I hope he's not. He's saying it because he needs connection with other. Here's a key word. Godly men. Not the homies. Unless the homies are godly. Amen. I got some homies that are godly, so gotta be careful. But he needs connection with other godly men. Proverbs 27, 17 says this, as iron sharpens iron, so a man sharpens the countenance of his friend. We need to stay sharp, man. And we need other men to join together with to have connection with. But here's the problem. Most men can never pursue that. They don't pursue it. So we do teams and minister here once a month. Some of the men don't even come. They're just like, ah, she's tired. They don't. Because you know what? Iron sharpens iron. I don't see what's going on. They don't. Because see, what connection with men is representative of, you getting better. And you can't, you need to write this one down, teammate, get the tattoo, whatever. You can't get better alone. You get it. God puts the thing things you need in other people. So you lone wolf guys, lone rangers, even the lone ranger has Tonto. Amen. Come on, somebody. You can't get better alone. It's the other people. And you know what's something that most men don't have? Other connections. Here's the key word. With godliness. The key word. If you can always go hang out with your friends, man. Go out with your cousins and have a few drinks. That's not what this is. This kind of connection is beginning with other like-minded people of faith. And let me tell you why. Because it's a form of giving you rest. Okay? Now, like I said earlier, women, you need to understand this. Because I've heard women give their husband a hard time whenever he wants to go and out with somebody else. Well, where are you going? Well, I'm going to go hang out with so-and-so. Well, how come I can't come? Because I don't want you to. Said no man ever, right? Said no man ever. But we think it. But here's the problem. If a woman doesn't understand this is a need for him, it's real easy to take it personal. I want to go hang out with my friend. Well, I'm your friend. But I need other friends. I mean, we're laughing, but this is true conflict in marriage. Now, again, I'm not advocating going out every Friday with the boys, every weekend with the boys. I'm not advocating that at all. But you need to understand that connecting with other godly men is what men need. And ladies, when you make a way for them to be able to do that, it's a blessing to them. They need that golf time with the boys. They need that time to go hang out with other godly men. I gotta put that godly thing out there. Nobody's saying go out to the strip joint with your old friends. That's not what this is. To accuse one of them? Yes. To pick out with some of the fellas from the church? Yes. Go golfing with some of the other godly men? Yes, do that. And ladies, when your husband is doing that, you need to take joy in it because you want to make him better. Amen? Because iron sharpens iron. One thing I learned this week, we were spending some time with our pastors up in El Paso, and he was talking about rest and how important it is for pastors and things to have proper rest. And I just really understand it's not just important for pastors, it's important for everybody. But if you look at men, it's important that men have a proper rest. And there's six different areas of rest in your gut that you're supposed to partake of. Most of us are only privy to physical rest, which is usually translated into sleep. Okay? But there's other kinds of rest. There's emotional rest. There's social rest. And these are rests that have to do with your soul. Okay? These are rests that happens when you let your guard down. And this is rest that happens when you spend time with people that enhance your life. Amen? When you spend time with the right people, it enhances your life, it gives you rest and relaxation. See, the problem with some of us, we don't spend time with anybody like that. We only spend time with family. You get that? Because many times with family, it's more stress and drama than it is rest. Come on, somebody, you know it's true. Where our guard is up when it comes to family sometimes, right? But you've got to learn to have emotional rest, which is you being around genuine people where you can let your guard down. You got to learn how to get around people who are enhancing your life, who are pushing you upward, who are talking about things that matter. Because I'll tell you this, guys, for every man in here, fathering and being a husband is a learned behavior. It's a learned behavior. Don't nobody have this thing here. And we enter into fatherhood without ever reading a book. We you get married with no instruction manual. Then you find out, I don't know what I'm doing. She's not happy. I thought this was a crafty. She's just an incarnate. What am I doing? Here's the thing you got to understand. Fathering and being a husband is a learned behavior. It's a learned behavior. So that means this. If you're going to be good at it, it's up to you. When you do something here today, when you throw an excuse out the window so it never comes out of your vocabulary again, the excuse that I didn't have a good dad must be called with you. That's true. Because there's enough books that have been written about how to be a father. There's enough teachings that have been taught about how to be a father. And there's enough fathers in the house of God that you can come and go, hey, my dear Lamona, how did you raise those kids to be college graduates? Hey, Mr. Cardenas, you've got all these kids serving God. How did you do that? Or you can hold to, well, I didn't have a dad. My dad was wounded. My dad abused me. You can keep that all you want, and you can put that excuse down, and you can learn how to be a father. You can learn how to be a good husband. And you're not going to be today. So the way we do this is through connection with other godly men. Come on, are you still tracking with me? All right, let's go to the third thing. Third thing every father needs. You ready for this? The first thing every father needs is respect. Respect. See, ladies, you think he needs love. Would rather have respect. Don't get it twisted. We like love. We like love. But we love respect. Now, respect, that word too, has many different connotations. Well, what do you mean? Do I got to walk around and say yes sir to you? That's not right. Come on. You're being childish. There's very simple ways that you can show your husband or your father respect. Respect is judgment. Respect is judgment. Do you know more men feel more trusted at their job than they do by their own wives? When they go to work, they're somebody. When they go to work, their boss trusts them with a task. And guess what? It feels good to them. But when that man comes home, he don't get the same respect. That's where he would rather be. You work with him now. Got real quiet in this. But that doesn't make sense. Listen, around his friends, he's respected. They don't know respect him. We'll talk right to him. He goes home. Look at those same respect. That's where he'd rather be. We need respect. How do we show him respect? I hear the voice of some spirit in this thing here. I'm not going to keep going here. I hear when his mind is just like, oh, what about this? Oh, what about this? And then he's a father's children. Okay? Don't go to the father's children. Can we just get one day real quick? We'll deal with all that other stuff another Sunday, all right? I'll answer all those other questions on another Sunday. But we got to learn how to respect a man's good man. Respect his abilities. Respect the visible in your communication. How do you talk to your husband? Do you make him feel respected? Or do you make him feel like you're his mother? Well, if he wouldn't act like a kid, it's Father's Day. We're staying on topic, all right? Staying on topic. It's true. It's true. Respecting in public. How do you speak about your husband? get to bed with all the other ladies, have drinks over, everybody was so stupid. You know what he did? Did everybody in your circle know your husband's weaknesses? They shouldn't. They shouldn't know it. Do you model respect in some of your kids the way you talk to their father? Right? You're in the car with the kids, the phone rings. What? Men are at their best, guys, when they show respect. And men, that's it. That's it. All your husband needs is a little respect. That's it. He'll be good to go. He'll keep working extra shifts. He'll keep doing what he's got to do to pay the bills. He will go out and get you food. He'll be your Uber driver. He'll do whatever you need if you just give him a little bit of respect. So my kids can have whatever they want when they're respectful. Come on, I mean, they're not allowed to. And they don't respect. Why? And this is the thing, guys. It's not a macho thing. It's not anything like that. And I understand, and stay with me, let's be mature. I'm not talking about this level of respect that you got to treat him like, you know, the president's going to say yes or no, man, or whatever. It's just a common respect. Your husband will go far with you. But if you see him struggling, then you just need you to show him a little respect. Amen? Praise Amen. That's a good word. All right. His father said, stay with me. All right. Number four. Here we go. I just got a few more. I'm going to let you go see dad think or something. Okay. Number four. What every father needs. We found out today with the group that sings that sung the song, Understanding. But every father needs is understanding. He doesn't have a song, right? What I need from you is understanding. Yeah, he got it. Every father needs understanding, guys. You want to know why? Because he's human. He can make mistakes. He's flawed. We need to learn how to show mercy to your father. He's going to make mistakes. And he's still learning how to do this thing, too. You know, nobody's got it all together. So we got to give understanding to him. I'll put it to you like this. It's kind of like give your father the benefit of the doubt. Give your husband the benefit of the doubt. Don't be so quick to put things the wrong way. Kind of know what I'm talking about. Don't be so quick to assume the worst. Why do we do this with our loved ones? You know, they make a mistake. Oh, you meant to do that. No, I didn't. I completely made a mistake. I was trying to do something. No, you knew I didn't like it like that, and you still did it. I literally forgot. I'm sorry. I know you you guys get the point. Don't do that. Give understanding. Here's a big one. Believe yourself when they talk. I didn't mean to hit you, kid. Okay, I do. I do now. That's the understanding. Here's the benefit of the doubt. Yeah, maybe he was tired. How's that? He didn't mean to do it like that. He made a mistake. He forgot. What is it? But I'll just tell you right now, if you've ever been around a man, those are going to be phrases you hear a lot. I forgot. Because men forget. Don't get married if you don't like people forgetting stuff. Because men forget stuff all the time. And every woman in here would say, it's so frustrating. Right, women? think I just forgot. No, you meant an hour to tell you. Understand. Amen. Number five. Last two and I'm done. This thing the Father needs is forgiveness. He needs forgiveness. I feel it in my spirit. There's some of you here that you can give your dad this for Father's Day. How long are you going to hold on to some of those things? Forgive them. Colossians 3:12-13 says this. Therefore, as the elect of God, holy and beloved, put on tender mercy, kindness, humility, meekness, long suffering, bearing one another, and forgiving one another. If anyone has a complaint against another, even if Christ forgave you, so you must also do. Every husband, every father in here needs this gift. Because we're going to make mistakes. And we do make mistakes. Forgiveness is a beautiful thing. Forgiveness can keep a relationship intact. Unforgiveness will rip it apart. So listen, I know I'm talking to some of you here that have fathers that did unforgivable things. They don't deserve to be forgiven. And in that case, the forgiveness is for you, not them. The forgiveness is for you. Because unforgiveness will keep you in the prison of those memories of what was done for you. Unforgiveness always keeps you bitter and locked in as a victim. But the key out of that prison is forgiveness. But that's one side of the thing. The other side is the everyday understanding that your dad's going to make some mistakes. He's going to be tired from a hard day's work. Sure, he wants to be there for you. But he didn't make the right decision. Forgive. Every father needs to be forgiven. And all the men say, one, number six. The sixth thing every father needs is encouragement. Now, this is something that all of us can do for our parents today. Encourage them. You know, there's a scripture in 1 Samuel chapter 30, verse 6, about David, King David. Let me read it to you real quick. It says, and David was greatly distressed, for the people spoke of stoning, because the soul of all the people was grieved. Every man for his son was in $30. But David encouraged himself in the Lord his God. Now, I used to read this from the understanding of, wow, as a man, I've got to learn to encourage myself. But see, the only reason David was put in a position to have to encourage himself is because the people that God put in his life to do that very thing weren't in it. And the people that God has put in a husband or a father's life to encourage him, the first line of defense is the wife. Wives, you have an awesome opportunity to be your husband's first line of defense to be his biggest encourager. What a man can do with a wife's encouragement is amazing. It is like rocket fuel. I wish I could get more women to understand this. Because see, Satan understands it. And what he wants to try to do is, instead of making you his greatest encourager, you become his greatest critic. Instead of seeing how great of a husband you got, all you see is his mistakes. All you see is his shortcomings. All you see is all the things he does wrong. You're more of a critic than a cheerleader. And what you don't understand is you are hurting yourself. I could have gotten your next one. You want to go higher in life. You want the family to go further and higher. Learn to put that rocket fuel in your head. That is my greatest encouragement. Tell them how awesome it is. Tell them how good you are. Tell them how strong you are. Tell them how smart you are. Somebody's getting happy back there. Because if you do, we all win. We all win. Because then, like you did at home, as a husband, he's going to go the extra mile for his
Well, I hope you've been encouraged by the Word of God. And if you have, go ahead and subscribe to our podcast or download our free app at the App Store, and you can continue to get Word every week from Elevate Life Church.